This is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, June 3rd, 2020. I am the Solid Monster. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for choosing me for your Dynamite recap here tonight. This is your AEW review. And of course, AEW is the company that, per Tony Khan himself, has banned Linda Hogan. Has banned Linda Hogan and Hulk Hogan from all future AEW events. Now, Hulk Hogan, of course, is in bed with WWE. But, you know, you throw enough money in his face and he'll follow the scent. And Tony Khan has said, nope. Linda's banned. Her ex-husband is banned. This is the same Linda Hogan who had racist tweet of the week all locked up this week on the Sound Off until Tammy Sitch opened her blowhole and pretty much took the cake. But she tweeted this earlier, and I couldn't start here without mentioning this. This was just too rich not to mention. You all know the Linda Hogan thing by now and the stupid show. There it is. I'm going to talk about that in a second. That's the new Butcher and the Blade Super Chat. I'll get to that. But I'm sure most of you by now are aware of the stupidity of one Linda Hogan. The reason I bring this up, besides the fact that she was banned by AEW, I want to show you a little something, because she got a lot of heat, and rightfully so. But I want to show you a little something that she tweeted earlier today. I want you to take a look at this here on your screen. This is a tweet that Linda Hogan replied to. From footwear designer Tanish Leslie, congratulating her on her luxury shoe brand making its debut at New York Fashion Week. And that's all well and good. You know, a positive tweet to a very successful African-American entrepreneur. The only problem is, take a look at the date on said tweet, if you would. February of 2018. Over 2 years ago. I wonder how long she had to search. I wonder how long she had to search to find that one black friend. If they're even friends, I don't even know if the two of them know each other or not. To be able to post that tweet. Oh, Tanay, congratulations. Linda, but I have black friends Hogan, everybody. Take it all in. Truly a deplorable human being. Unbelievable. I don't know what else to say. I have a lot I could say, but we're going to leave it at that. Today is a very special day. Today, for those of you who are not aware, is a certain someone's birthday. No, it's not my birthday. It is the birthday of The Butcher. Yes. The Butcher, it is his birthday today. This is his very special day. And having said that, you already saw it a little. And there it is again. There it is again. You guys are jumping the gun here. You're stealing some of my thunder. Super chats are open. You see some of them coming in already. You can find the special amounts in the description down below. That is the new $25 Butcher and the Blade Super Chat. I had two people last week tell me, we were talking about The Butcher and the Blade, they were back on TV for the first time in forever. And somebody said, oh, you should make that a super chat. I said, that's not a bad idea. So I've gone ahead, I kind of juggled a couple of the donation amounts. Anyway, that's the new $25 one for those of you who care, who want to see The Butcher and the Blade. There it is. You may see that popping up on your screen. Vote in the Twitter poll, @Solomonster. I have a poll up for AEW. I have a poll up for NXT. You know the drill. We'll talk about that a little later on in the stream. I hope you guys are having a great night. I hope you guys are not having any issues. Everything looks good on my end, so we'll get right into it here. The show tonight, which was not live, this show I believe was taped last week, if I'm not mistaken. This show opened with an AEW tag team title match. Been a while since we've had Kenny Omega and Hangman Page together at once, defending their titles. It's probably been a few months at this point. But they defended their titles here against Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc. And that was the match that opened the show. FTR was watching on. Best Friends were in the crowd. They were watching on. Best Friends was going to meet the winner of this match at Fyter Fest, which I'll have news on in a second, for the tag team titles. I thought this was very good. It was very predictable. I don't know that anybody actually believed for a second there was going to be a title change here. But this was the best match of Kip Sabian's AEW career. I've not seen him have a better match or, you know, as big of a match as what he had tonight. And I thought he did very well. Jimmy Havoc was Jimmy Havoc. I mean, what else is there to say? Jimmy Havoc was exactly who you thought he would be. Penelope Ford, early on, she had tried for a Rana off the top. Hangman caught her. Lucky man, Hangman Page, holding on to Penelope Ford. The referee sees this. He drops her. And the referee, I think it was Rick Knox, kicked her out. So Penelope Ford, biggest heel in the business, Rick Knox, kicking Penelope Ford out of ringside. And so she was gone. Now, while all of this was going on, I mentioned Jimmy Havoc being Jimmy Havoc. Jimmy Havoc was doing Jimmy Havoc things. Well, Jimmy Havoc grabbed a wrench from underneath the ring, and he whacked Omega with it, and he whacked Hangman with it, and the heels got the heat on the champions for a while. Sabian hit Omega with a poison Rana, took him down. Omega came back, Snapdragon on Jimmy Havoc, V-trigger to Kip Sabian. Match broke down with all four men going at it. It was a melee, as Vince McMahon would say. And it was the last call V-trigger combo to Jimmy Havoc, winning it for the champions. Omega and Page retain to the surprise of no one. Disappointed Solo Monster on his screen. Nothing to be disappointed about here in this match. I thought this was a very good opener. So Hangman and Omega, now they go on to defend the titles at Fyter Fest against Best Friends. And we now know that Fyter Fest, we didn't have a date. They were talking about Fyter Fest last week, sometime this summer. Well, now we know. Fyter Fest, it's like WrestleMania. It's too big for one night. So we're getting Fyter Fest on two nights, 2 weeks straight, July 1st, July 8th. Those episodes of Dynamite will be special Fyter Fest editions of Dynamite. Now, there's a little bit of confusion. I want to clear this up right now. For those of you who were in the chat, maybe you were on social media, you're watching the show. Hey, what's going on? They're advertising, Fyter Fest for 10 p.m. Eastern. I saw that too. I said, excuse me, what are you talking about? Why is this starting at 10 o'clock? It is not. It is not. That was a production mistake. Tony Khan cleared it up on his Twitter. He said it was a post-production error. It is 8 p.m. Eastern. So it's not a second episode of Dynamite. It's not that Dynamite is being delayed or anything like that. It will air 8 o'clock July 1st, 8 o'clock July 8th, and those will be the Fyter Fest editions on TNT. So it will not be a pay-per-view. It will be a free event. We had highlights of Tully Blanchard reaming out Sean Spears earlier in the week. I don't know how many of you saw that video on the AEW social media. Just yelling at this guy, shouting him down, basically telling him what a loser he is. Is this what you want your legacy to be? I was wondering about that. I said, what exactly is Sean Spears' legacy? Like, if Sean Spears' career ended today, or it ended tomorrow, what would his legacy be? Would it be, I'm trying to think, like, how would I define this man's career? Would I just think Peyton Royce? Does that pretty much sum it up? You know, is it the perfect 10? Is it somebody who was underutilized and then went to AEW and ended up not doing much there either? I mean, what is his legacy? Is it Gavin Spears from the old ECW brand? Let me know in the chat. What would you say is Sean Spears' legacy at this stage of his career? Because it doesn't look very good. Anyway, so after all this yelling and shouting, and Tully Blanchard is just, it seems like he's completely fed up with this guy, we cut to earlier in the day. Sean Spears is sitting in a limousine. Into the car comes Tully Blanchard. He has a box. I'm thinking, what's in the box? Not Brad Pitt, what's in the box, but like, what's in the box? And he opens it, and inside the box is a fingerless black glove. Look like my gym. Hold on a second. Just wait 1 second. Oh, God damn it. I don't know where it is. I'm trying to think about where it is. Hold on. Hold on a second. There we go. Aha! This right here. I should have thought about this before I started the stream. Tully Blanchard handed Sean Spears one of... You see this? One of these. This was his big thing. This is what he gave him in the box. You know what these are? These are my gym gloves. I bought them for like $20 at Modell's. This right here. This is going to change Sean Spears' career. This is it. This apparently is going to be the secret to all of his success. Look at this. I look like Big Daddy Cool Diesel. Is he supposed to be Blackjack Mulligan? Is he supposed to be Diesel? I don't know what his new gimmick is going to be. You know, is he Roman Reigns? Roman Reigns? I don't know. Anyway, this Sean Spears stuff is going nowhere. I don't know what else to say. This guy's career is hitting the skids. It's going to take more than a black glove to fix this guy's career. I'll tell you that much. Anyway, let me play catch up with some of these super chats here. I had super chats coming in before I even went live. You guys never disappoint. I always love spending my Wednesday night with all of you. Hope you're having a good night. Jackalope Music, thank you for the $5. That came in before we even started tonight. You're awesome. Andrew Joylog with the $25. Thank you, sir. Kevin, oh my God. And Patrice Herbert, Jared M., our buddy Jared from New York. Lord Frieza. Lord Frieza in the chat. And the Cheeseburger 666. I don't know what's going on with Sadie Gibbs. We haven't seen Sadie Gibbs on AEW television in a while. Unless she's been on Dark. But I have not been keeping up with Dark every single week, so I don't know. It's been a while since we've seen Sadie Gibbs. Brian Cage. Brian Cage was out. He came out next. He destroyed Sean Dean. They're asking who is Sean Dean. That's what everybody is asking. Sean Dean was the jobber of the week, being fed to Brian Cage. He threw him around with suplexes. Buckle bomb in the corner. They had to stick that in, right? Although this was a tape show. Actually, I think this show was probably taped before the ban that WWE instituted became public on the buckle bomb, but I guess somebody didn't get the memo. And the drill claw wins it. And so an easy win for Brian Cage. Taz cut a hell of a promo here. Again, it goes to the strength of these managers. Whether it's Tully Blanchard, whether it's Taz in this case. We all know Taz can speak. All Brian Cage has to do is stand there and look mean. Remember when Brian Cage had the Nintendo Power Glove in Lucha Underground? Yeah, if you're gonna give somebody a glove, at least it looked like Thanos's glove. At least give him something cool. Don't give him a gym glove that you bought at Modell's for or Dick's Sporting Goods for $10. Anyway, so Taz was very irritated. Said John Moxley, you know, as I was talking to you last week. John Moxley was on commentary. He says, you know, you were giggling and you weren't taking me seriously. You were making a mockery of what I was saying. You were making a mockery of Brian Cage. Because this is no joke. This is the real deal. And then Taz put a spin on his old catchphrase, which he's now using for Cage. Beat him if you can. Survive if he lets you. Moxley came down. He got into the ring. He said, I was smiling last week because I love the idea of mixing it up with Brian Cage. You know, he goes, I'm a fan of violence. I look forward to stepping into the ring with Brian Cage. That's the only reason I was laughing. Wasn't trying to make fun of you. Told Cage that he is swimming with a different breed of shark. And you better remember that the next time you mention my name. So, yeah, the slow build. This is going to be the match at Fyter Fest. I think they can keep them apart for a few more weeks. I don't even think they need to touch. If it were me, I'd keep these two guys apart. No physicality for a few more weeks. Keep them apart. Keep people wanting to see it. Alex Marvez, he caught up with Lance Archer, who for some reason was hanging out in a junkyard, throwing some dude around. I don't know where they find these jobbers. I hope they give them hazard pay. And he was beating some guy up. Archer said, one loss means nothing to him. The one loss to Cody, a double or nothing. Says, I'm not here to be a spot monkey. Everybody dies. Jake the Snake apologized to Alex Marvez. Elsewhere, we had Matt Hardy confronting Private Party. So Private Party, they were at the bar. And Matt Hardy shows up. This is regular Matt Hardy. This is not broken Matt Hardy, woken Matt Hardy, you know, token Matt Hardy. No, this is just regular Matt Hardy. Matthew Hardy, he shows up, wants to know how Mark Quinn's knee is after the injury the week before. Says his knee is fine. Said that, you know, you Private Party guys, you kind of remind me of the Hardy Boys. They remind me and my brother Jeff many years ago. And Isaiah Cassidy said, hey, you know, Private Party and you, if we get together, it could be the Hardy Party. Matt liked the sound of that. He went to leave. He bumped into Sammy Guevara in the hallway. Told Sammy, hey, got nothing but respect for you. You and I, we're cool. Matt Hardy. This cool hand Luke walking around. He walks away. I feel like he's about to blow. He reminds me of Lloyd Braun from Seinfeld. Serenity now. Insanity later. That's Matt Hardy. So Matt Hardy was just a nice guy. I guess that was the whole point of this. Matt Hardy's a nice guy. I don't know if they know what to do with him. Now, he was involved in the whole thing with the Elite and the Inner Circle. I'm not sure if it's done yet or not. I mean, he had the interaction with Sammy Guevara. I'd like to see them keep that going. Sammy needs something to do. Him and Matt Hardy, I think that could be very entertaining. And I'm still waiting for that match at the Hardy Compound. He had extended the invitation to Sammy many, many weeks ago. And then they didn't do anything with it. I'm hoping they come back to that and maybe they can do something. Sammy comes to the compound. You know, we've seen Sammy chased by a golf cart. We've seen Sammy chased by a horse. We know Matt Hardy has many wild animals. A lot of spot monkeys over there. He's shown us, right, that he keeps. He has a giraffe. He has all these animals at the Hardy compound. The kangaroo, right? What was the name of the kangaroo? It was a Sugar Ray Leonard or something. What would he call the kangaroo? I forgot the kangaroo's name. He named it after a famous boxer. Somebody in the chat will remind me of what it was. Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho against Colt Cabana. This is the first time ever that Cabana and Jericho have gone one-on-one in a match. Sammy Guevara comes out. And I was just talking about Sammy, right? Sammy comes out. He is singing Chris Jericho to the ring. So he is singing Chris Jericho's theme music. Smoking Joe Frazier. That's what it was. See, I didn't even need anybody. All you guys in the chat, look at this. Nobody came up with it. Nobody in the chat came. I had to come up with it myself. The kangaroo was Smoking Joe Frazier. Could have Sammy come and have a match with Smoking Joe. That could be entertaining. Sammy comes out here. I've heard animals dying in the street that sounded better than Sammy Guevara here singing Chris Jericho's song as he came to the ring. This was not good, which I guess was the point of it. But boy, was this not good. The match I thought was just okay. Jake Hager was out there. He knocked Cabana off the ropes at one point. He went splat on the floor outside as they went to commercial. Cabana went for his Superman pin, which I like. I like that move a lot. But as he went for it, Jericho caught him and reversed it into the walls of Jericho. Cabana made the ropes. We had an avalanche Frankensteiner by Cabana. Takes Jericho down, 2 count only. And the Judas effect out of nowhere. I'm not going to reenact it for you because it's kind of dangerous. Judas Effect wins it. Jericho picks up the win. He gets on the mic. Jericho calls Mike Tyson a piece of shit. Those are his words, not mine. Called him a piece of shit. Said he wants to taste Mike Tyson's blood. He says, I'm not waiting until a pay-per-view. I'm not waiting until next week. I want him now. I want the baddest man on the planet to come out here and face me right now. And he got his wish. Because out came the baddest man on the planet. Orange Cassidy. And out walks Orange Cassidy. He takes his time. He gets into the ring. Jericho and Hager go after him. And he bails out to the floor over to the best friends. Best friends were in the audience. So he went over to his buddies. Took refuge. Well, look. When you ask for the baddest man on the planet, that's what you're going to get. Orange Cassidy, man, come on. This guy's the best. Like the top merch seller in the company. Apparently his segments do well in the ratings. I love all these people who make fun of Orange Cassidy. Oh my God, the show sucks. How can you have somebody like that on TV? It's like one of their biggest draws. I can't explain it. I guess just people like to have fun. He's a tough guy. he's the only guy that Haku wanted no part of. You know, back in the day, if you had a locker room with Haku and Bruiser Brody and Vader and all these big, tough guys, and they see Orange Cassidy come rolling in, those guys are going to go find something else to do. They should be lucky he wasn't in the locker room back then. Before we get to one of my favorite segments on the show, Rodimus Prime, thank you for the $10. Trayvon Birch with the five. First time donator, been listening since 2015. That's awesome. Long time, last 5 years. 5 years of listening. Thank you very much for all the support. Michael Cuomo, good old malicious intent. What's going on, Michael? Seeing Orange Cassidy, he says, talking about The Office with Brandy on her show, A Shot with Brandy, just made my love for Orange grow that much more. Maroa 12004, thank you for the five. Says, I have a weird question. I need a chair like the one that you have. What is its name? And how much did it cost? Well, what you see behind me, if you could see it, well, I don't know if you could read the little headrest here, but this is a, I almost forgot the name of it. This is a Secret Lab. It's a gaming chair. I don't game, but it's a comfortable chair. Secret Lab Omega. Not to be confused with Kenny. It has nothing to do with Kenny Omega. Secret Lab Omega 2020, I guess it would be. I mean, they may have different versions of it. I like it. I like it. I had a little, you know, piece of shit office chair that was beaten to shreds. I needed something new. And I said, you know what? Let's take a chance on this. The one thing I will say about this chair weighs a ton. Putting this together was no fun. This was no fun at all. Once I was done with it, it was like I had accomplished some great mission. But once it's put together, it's actually quite comfortable. It cost me, how much did it cost me? $300, I think. I think it was about $300. So if you just search for Secret Lab, you'll see they have this. They have ones of other material. You know, it's whatever your personal preference is. But that's the brand. So hopefully that answers your question. Tenorio 128, can you do the Butcher and the Blade on camera? Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Soggy Fries, thank you for the $2. And Oofman Entertainment says, this is from CJ LaChapelle. That might be the first super chat on behalf of someone else that I've ever gotten here on the channel. So thank you. We got an inspirational Britt Baker video package. Of course, she is out hurt. She's got torn ligaments in her knee. She's got a fracture. She's going to be out for a few more weeks. She's in her wheelchair. She is a role model, says so on the back of her chair. So this video was her rehabbing. She was doing all sorts of exercises from the wheelchair. Rebel, Reba, I keep calling her Rebel, was wheeling her around. This was fucking great. I thought this was maybe the best thing. Well, maybe not the best, but this was one of the best things on the entire show. I did enjoy the main event. Best part was her at the end of the video trying to wheel herself up this small ramp. And they had Dr. Samson cheering her on. They had Reba cheering her on. Out of nowhere, here comes Tony Schiavone, her BFF. And Tony shows up. He's smiling. Come on, you can do it. And she reaches the top of the ramp. It was like she had accomplished something, you know, great, like Rocky running up the steps or something. I just love that Tony is like there for her. Tony and her are like this, even though she treats him like shit. Sounds like every married person I've ever met before in my life. But this was great. This was great. They're taking a negative and they're turning it into a positive. Now, WWE years ago, they've done this before. Guys get hurt. What do you do with them? Let's keep them on TV and come up with something for them to do. And that's what they're doing with Baker. She's going to be gone. She's not going to be gone that long. It's not an ACL tear. That would be far worse. So let's make the most of it. We'll put her on TV in these funny segments. And before you know it, she'll be back. She'll roll out there in her wheelchair 1 week. And then she'll stand up and she'll beat the hell out of somebody. And that somebody might be Big Swole. Speaking of which, Big Swole took on Nyla Rose. First match for Nyla Rose on AEW television since losing the championship to Hikaru Shida. I love how when I talked about her name on my Double or Nothing review, because that's the way Dasha says it, calls her Hikaru. I said, I can't not think of Pikachu. Well, like a day or two later on her Twitter, Shida was like retweeting a fan saying, oh, because somebody else said, oh, I always think of Pikachu when I hear her say your name. And she's like, oh, Pikachu, I love that. See, I'm not the only one. I'm not making fun of her. That's what I hear. I hear Hikaru, I think of Pikachu. And now, apparently, she feels the same way. That could be part of her gimmick now. Could have somebody in a Pikachu costume come to the ring with her. Be like her bodyguard or something. I was watching a video the other day, I don't know why, of Shida eating a Reese's peanut butter cup for the first time. This is the stuff that enthralls me on social media. She bit into that thing. She was blown away. She kept saying, oh shit, oh shit. She had never had a Reese's peanut butter cup a day in her life. And she was blown away by, you know who else used to eat Reese's peanut butter cups? I don't know how many people are aware of this. Lex Luger. I remember Lex Luger telling that before he would go out for his matches, the secret to all the vascularity, like, you know, I have the same level of vascularity. You can't see it. It's covered up right now by this. I should show this, actually. Right? Well, I don't want to lower it, but this is the Shad Beast, that Shad Gaspar t-shirt. So, collar and elbow. For those of you who want to buy the shirt, go ahead and buy it. So you can't see the vascularity here. But Lex Luger, before he would go out to the ring, he would eat like one or two Reese's peanut butter cups. Apparently there's something in it, I guess, that just makes your veins show more, makes you look more veiny, I guess, when you come out. I don't know. That apparently was his big secret before he would go out for matches. He would have Reese's peanut butter cups. So, yeah, see, now you have that useless bit of information from yours truly. I know your night could not have continued without knowing that. Big Swole, she put up more of a fight than I thought she would. They gave her a lot of offense here in this match, which was good to see. Swole hit a cutter for a two count. She avoided the Beast Bomb near the end, but Nyla caught her with the second attempt. And so Nyla Rose wins. No big surprise there. Tony Schiavone went down to the ring. He interviewed Swole after the match. Said it was the first time we had seen her in action for about 2 months. Complimented her on the effort. Swole was talking about what it was like to be back in the ring for the first time in 2 months when we see Britt Baker, who was in the audience in her wheelchair on the back of a golf cart. It is what she calls her Rolls Royce. That is apparently what she is calling this vehicle that is transporting her around. It's her Rolls Royce. She rams right into the barricade. She's yelling at Swole, what are you going to do about it? She's acting all tough. Swole, of course, is not going to take shit from anybody. Remember her at Double or Nothing? She was getting up in everybody's face. I thought she was drunk. She was one of the best parts of that whole show. Swole says, okay, I got something for you. She goes under the ring. She gets a chair. Britt Baker backs off. She tells Reba to back up her Rolls Royce, and she hightails it out of there. We need to see more of Swole. I think we need more Swole here on Dynamite. We need to see more of her. She looked good. You know, in this match tonight, she looked good. So hopefully we get to see more of her. Earlier today, Tony Schiavone interviewed Darby Allin, who was not allowed in the ring this week after the injuries, I guess, that he sustained in the ladder match of Double or Nothing at the hands of Brian Cage. He asked Darby if he thought that it had anything to do, what happened to him, had anything to do with him turning down Taz. Remember, there were 2 weeks worth of segments where Taz was in the back trying to give Darby Allin some advice, trying to take him under his wing. Darby didn't want his advice. He goes, I don't need your advice. And he walked off. And so he's not sure, but Darby did say that he promised to get the last laugh on Brian Cage. And so that was that. Tony Schiavone was a very busy man tonight. Not only was he doing commentary, he interviewed Big Swole. He interviewed Darby Allin. Then earlier in the day, he had a sit-down interview with FTR. He does a podcast with Aubrey Edwards. He's got his own podcast with Conrad. No wonder this guy had to quit all of his baseball and his football radio gigs. So Tony interviews FTR. Asked him, what does FTR stand for? And they kind of dance around the question. They go, well, you know, it stands for the revolution. Apparently that's what it stands for. For the Revolution. It doesn't really stand for anything. That's the answer. FTR stands for whatever you want FTR to stand for. Said that they complimented all of the teams on the roster, except one. Complimented the Butcher and the Blade. Complimented the Lucha Bros. Well, actually, they kind of insulted the Lucha Bros, but they did acknowledge the Lucha Bros. They mentioned Private Party. They mentioned Santana and Ortiz. Kenny Omega and Hangman Page. Never mentioned the Young Bucks. They intentionally did not mention the Young Bucks. And Tony brought them up. And they said, you know, it's not really a dream match for us. We've had to sit back and listen to this now for years. We've had to sit back and listen to Dave Meltzer call them the next Midnight Express. Dave Meltzer drop here on Dynamite. What a surprise. Wheeler says he wants to just punch him in the mouth. That's how he feels about the Young Bucks. Says they've dreamed about this moment for the past 5 years, where they would be able to go one-on-one, face-to-face with the Bucks. They've been waiting for this for a long time. They want to get an answer. Who is the better team? Right? They call the Young Bucks the greatest team ever, which is laughable. But who is the better team? Says they don't want any excuses. The reason they didn't put their hands on the Young Bucks is because they didn't want to beat them up too badly. They don't want any excuses. This guy's hurt. That guy's hurt. They want the Young Bucks to be tip-top. They want the Young Bucks to be 100% and as healthy as they could ever be. And Shivani thanked him. That was pretty much it. I mean, look, I thought this was good. They could have gone a little bit deeper, I guess, into other aspects of who they are. The reality is most people, they know who they are. You know, the people who watch this show are the same people who know who the Revival is. You don't have to go into great detail about who these guys are. They explain their motivation. Right? They want to prove that they're the best team in the world, and they have this issue with the Young Bucks. They're tired of hearing the Young Bucks called the best. They're here to prove that they're the best. There it is. Very simple story. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to overthink things. That's the story. Tony Schiavone ends the interview, thanks them, says, you know, here this whole time, I thought FTR stood for Fuck the Revival. And they obviously they bleeped the whole thing out. At that moment, the Butcher and the Blade suddenly show up at the top of a staircase. I don't know where they did this interview. It was in like a fucking hotel lobby or something. There's the Butcher and the Blade. They're very upset about what happened the week before when they got attacked by FTR. And so they come down. A bunch of random dudes get in between them and break them up. And Wheeler says, look, it's nothing personal. You want a match? We'll give you a match. No problem. So now that match is going to take place on TV next week. I thought this was good. It was a good segment. I think it accomplished what it had to accomplish in terms of, again, just establishing why they're here. And it looks like they're going to do what I hope they were going to do. They're going to take their time. They're going to give these guys some wins. There's no need to do this match at Fyter Fest. I don't know if they're going to wrestle at Fyter Fest or not. I would not do the Bucks and FTR at Fyter Fest. I don't think they're going to. You got to save it for All Out. That first match has to be saved for All Out. Or maybe later. Maybe you could even delay it to Full Gear or whatever the pay-per-view in November is going to be. But to do it at Fyter Fest would be completely ridiculous. That would be completely stupid. Looks like they're going to take their time doing it, and that's what they should do. That's the way they should go with this thing. Take your time. Ain't no rush. Take your time. PW Hustle, thank you for the 20. Soggy Fries with the 5. Gamer Ledge, thank you. Says, Sheeta was saying oishi, which means delicious in Japanese, not oh shit in English. I swear to you, it sounded like she was saying oh shit. That's exactly what it sounded like. I'll take your word for it, though. I'm not calling you a liar. I'll take your word for it. I mean, if you say it really fast, oishi, it does kind of sound like, oh, shit. I mean, if I were having a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup for the first time, that's what I would say. I would say, oh, shit. Just a Rican and his comics. Thank you for the 5. Rodney. Thank you, Rodney. Very much appreciated here on a Wednesday night. Colt Cabana. Had an interview with Alex Marvez. Very upset. Couldn't get the big win tonight over Jericho. He says, you know, I'm doing okay, but I can't get those big wins. I can't get over this hump. He's got like a dry spell going on here. And all of a sudden, in walks Brody Lee and the Dark Order. Brody Lee says to him, he tells Colt Cabana, I can help you with that. I can help you. Tells him to think about it. And he walks away, and Cabana says, well, that's nothing I want to think about. I don't even want to entertain that idea. Of course he is. Obviously, he's going to join the Dark Order. Maybe not right away. Yeah, maybe he'll turn down Brody Lee. I mean, maybe he's going to be Brody's next opponent. I actually think it could be kind of interesting to see Colt Cabana drop the comedy shit for a while. I mean, that's what he's known for. He's good at it, but maybe change things up a little bit. Kind of like when the Godfather joined, he became the Good Father. Remember when the Godfather became the Good Father? And he joined the Right to Censor and how much that sucked? Maybe that's not such a good idea after all. But, you know, to get me to care about the Dark Order, maybe that would be a good idea. Main event here was Cody in his first TNT title defense against Jungle Boy. That's Cream Pie in the chat says, Colt, see, that is clever. That is clever. Cream Pie says, Colt Cabana, C-U-L-T. That is a fucking great play on words. Now he has to join. Now we have to see him join now, and they have to spell his name Colt Cabana. I love that. That's a great idea. That's fantastic. I love that. Cody in his first TNT title defense against Jungle Boy was the main event this week. I thought this was a very good match. I enjoyed this. Jungle Boy had Cody against, or rather, Jungle Boy was up against the wall, right? So, you know, in Daly's place, there's like a wall outside the ring next to the stage. And so he's up against the wall, and in comes Cody. And Cody goes to headbutt Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy moves, and Cody headbutts the wall like a moron. So Cody headbutts the wall. Jungle Boy goes over to MJF. MJF is with Wardlow in the crowd. He's getting angry. He's getting hot. He's yelling at Jungle Boy. It's a joke that you're getting a title match and I'm not. Look, I mean, he's got a point here. I mean, after all, it was MJF who beat Jungle Boy at Double or Nothing. Why is he getting a championship match and not MJF? Not only did MJF beat Jungle Boy, MJF has a win over Cody. So if we're thinking about this, I'm not looking at the rankings, but just if you're thinking about this logically, he has a point. It should be MJF getting this title match and not Jungle Boy. So they're kind of jaw-jacking back and forth. They cut back to Cody, and Cody, his head is just split wide open. Right? He's a Rhodes, so naturally he's going to bleed. The Rhodes and the Flairs, they have a lot in common. Ric Flair, I said it the other day on my stream, or maybe it was on the podcast. I said it somewhere. Did I say it in the In Your House video? I don't know. But I said it the other day. Ric Flair wakes up in the morning. You know how you wake up in the morning, you go, you wash your face in the sink, right? You wash your face in the sink. Well, Ric Flair goes to wash his face in the sink, and when he comes up, he's fucking bleeding all over the place. This guy breathes heavily. He starts bleeding. His daughter, every week on TV, she's got a bloody mouth. I don't know. You know, she's bleeding all the time. Ric Flair's bleeding all the time. He used to come out on television, that one promo he got in trouble for once on Raw where he talked about making women bleed. That did not go over very well in the back. It's always about blood with the Flair family. Rhodes family is the same way. Dusty Rhodes bled all the time. Dustin Rhodes bled all the time. Dustin Rhodes got fired once from WCW for bleeding. So, of course, Cody's got to bleed too. So he's got blood pouring down his face. Jungle Boy gets him in the ring. He's working over the cut. They were trying to... You know, this was kind of a different side of Jungle Boy where they were trying to say he's, you know, going all out to win the championship, but this is kind of a violent side of him that we haven't seen before. And so he's working over Cody in the ring, trying to open that cut up even more. Cody fights back, hits the delayed vertical suplex from the middle rope on the inside. I believe he did that to Rey Mysterio in their match at WrestleMania many years ago. If I'm remembering correctly, he did the same thing to Mysterio. Cody took his weight. Well, I can't even talk. Let's dial that back and start over again. Here we go. Let's start over. Hi. Cody pulled his weight belt off. There we go. Thought I was having a stroke. Pulled his weight belt off. He was going to use it as a weapon. He thought better of it. threw the weight belt away. It's like Bobby Heenan having a fit at WrestleMania 8 when Piper refused to use the bell on Bret Hart. What the hell, use the bell? What did Piper do? He threw the belt away. What happened? He lost his title. So there's a table outside. Cody goes up to the top rope, and Jungle Boy follows him up to the top. They're fighting up top. They tumble backwards, and they go crashing down through the table outside the ring. They took the Shawn Michaels Mankind spot at Mind Games. They did the exact same spot in their match at Mind Games back in 96. They fell backwards through the table. Crossroads wins the match for Cody a few moments later. Both guys hugged when the match was over. Brandy came out to celebrate with her husband, and Arn Anderson was already out there. Luchasaurus was out there, Marco Stunt. It's one big party here. Pyro's going off. A successful first TNT title defense for Cody here on the show. I enjoyed the main event. I thought it was a very good match. Probably the best thing on the show. I liked it more than I did the opening tag team match. I thought the FTR interview was what it had to be. You know, it was pretty strong. And, you know, they continue to try to build up Brian Cage. Jericho and Colt was okay. That was more to kind of forward the whole story of Colt not being able to win a big match. So I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great. It was good. It was what I would call a good, serviceable episode of Dynamite. I don't know if they're live next week or not. I believe they are. I think it was only taped this week. Next Wednesday, Colt Cabana takes on Sammy Guevara. Cody defends the TNT title. Again, he's going to be defending it every week. So next week, he defends the championship against Mark Quinn of Private Party. FTR takes on The Butcher and The Blade. And we're getting a trios match. Santana and Ortiz and Jake Hager take on Best Friends and the baddest man on the planet. And for the first time ever, Jon Moxley is going to be wrestling a match on AEW Dark. That's on Tuesday. So Moxley will be on Dark on Tuesday, and then Wednesday, that is your lineup for Dynamite next week. Let us flash forward to the polls, as we do every Wednesday, to find out what you guys thought of the show here. What did you think of AEW Dynamite for June 3rd? And there it is. Roughly 82% thumbs up, about 18% thumbs down. So that's what you guys think of the show so far. At Solomonster is the handle if you want to vote. Let your voice be heard. And here's what you guys had to say about tonight's NXT, which I have yet to watch. 70% up and just shy of 30% thumbs down. So go ahead and vote. I want to hear from you guys. And also, if you did miss it, I want to make sure before I forget, just to plug this. It's over an hour long. If you've got an hour to kill, if you're at work, if you're bored, I recorded a video on the history of WWF In Your House. This is the 25th anniversary this year of the very first In Your House pay-per-view. And of course, NXT TakeOver In Your House is this Sunday. I'll be live here on the channel after that show for the recap. But I thought in the spirit of In Your House, why not do a countdown? So my top 10 WWE In Your House matches in history of all time. If you missed it earlier, it premiered on YouTube. You can check out the video. The audio will be pushing to the feed on Friday. So if you don't want to wait that long, go ahead and give the video a view. Give it a like. I would very much appreciate that if you would be so kind. And let me know what you think, because if your countdown is different than mine, I want to hear from you guys. What's your number one? What's your number one? What's your top three? Let's get some debate going. Leave a comment in the comments section. And so that is your In Your House reminder. Now, before we do calls or any of that stuff, one more thing. I had a couple of people ask me about this, and I figured, instead of waiting until Sunday, I may as well just talk about it now. WWE Network unveiled something called Sting, The Lost Tape. I had no idea what this was. This is like a sex tape. Like, what is this? The Lost Tape. If I'm Sting, I would have gulped. Like, what the fuck is this? I wonder if they even told him. You think they told Sting? Because Sting's not under contract to WWE at the moment. That would be kind of funny. We found a lost tape of Sting, and we're not going to tell him what it is. I'd be sweating bullets with some of those guys did back in the day. But it was nothing out of bounds. Sting had a match at Slamboree in 1995 against the Big Boss Man, who in WCW was Big Bubba Rogers. And at the time, they had a camera crew following Sting around all day, backstage, leading up to and immediately after the match with Big Bubba Rogers. It sounds very much like something you'd see on the WWE Network today, but this was in 1995. And apparently this video had never seen the light of day. They even played the VCR lines on it, and they rewound it. I'm thinking to myself, what is this? What could this be? I love seeing old footage and all that. This was fine. I mean, I don't even know what to say about this. There's really not much to it. I know people wanted me to talk about it, but I mean, there's really not a whole lot to it. Randy Savage is the biggest star of the whole thing. They have one scene where Sting is backstage, no face paint on yet. Macho Man's all dressed up as the Macho Man, but he's actually talking like a normal human being, and they're just having fun. You know, Sting's like, why don't you tell him about the gin game? And Savage is like, yeah, you know, I owe him money. I'm never going to pay him back. And he's just being funny. Macho Man was great in this video. But what was sad is that they talked to Macho Man. They talked to Vader. They talked to Brian Pillman to get comments on what they thought about Sting as a performer and, you know, about Sting as a person. Savage is dead. Vader is dead. Brian Pillman is dead. That's all I see are dead people. It's depressing as shit. At least Sting is still, you know, alive and well. Sting is still kicking. You know, that's good, I suppose. Buff Bagwell. Terry Taylor and Buff Bagwell were also interviewed, and they're still alive, too. Although Buff Bagwell barely. I don't know what happened to him recently. He was on Cameo. He looked like somebody beat the shit out of him. He's barely hanging on. But they're just backstage at this WCW show, and it's totally out of character, and they're interviewing people about Sting. They show Sting in the bathroom putting his face paint on and everything. He's talking about all the preparations before he goes out there. I mean, it was interesting, but that literally is all that it is. And then the last 15 minutes of this 30-minute special is the match from Slamboree. So you get 15 minutes of backstage footage and then 15 minutes of the match, and that's it. So it was fine, but it's nothing I would go out of my way to watch. You know what I think it was? When it was over, I said, what the hell was this even for? You know, because they have Sting talking about, oh, the WCW roster today, all this talent, great young talent. I'm thinking, well, obviously they were planning on releasing this or airing this in 95, and they never did. The only thing I could think of is that this was for a home video release that just got abandoned. They changed their mind, or some video got canceled or something, or somebody saw it and said, I don't want to put this out, you know, kayfabe. So it just kind of went on a shelf somewhere in their video library, and they never used it. So if you've got 30 minutes to spare, go ahead and watch it. But I don't really have anything more. I don't have anything more to say about it than that. Sorry, guys. I don't know what you were expecting from Sting the Lost Tape, but I'm sure Sting was breathing a sigh of relief. True Heel Master says, after watching the FTR interview, I got three words. They are free. That's what I said about Brody Lee. And then they put him in the fucking Dark Order. Be careful what you wish for. Proto Culture Times, thank you for the 10, says this was his third attempt. Well, it came through. I don't know why you had problems the first two times. I'm sorry about that. But anyway, I'm glad you made it through. The Game 56. Carlos Lugo, thank you for the 5. Wanted to know my take on the free network tier for WWE Network. Look, any way they can get new subscribers, if they think offering a reduced free tier is going to somehow attract more subscribers, then go for it. You know, the growth of this network has been stagnant. And they've got to find a way somehow to drum up subscriptions and get new people in. And if they think that this is going to be effective, then I'm okay with it. I mean, apparently they're offering 15,000 hours of access to 15,000 hours of content. That's a lot of content. I mean, it kind of makes me wonder, this is a free tier. That's a hell of a free tier. 15,000 hours. I'll say this. If you have been on the fence about the WWE Network, if you don't like WWE, you don't want to support the company, then fuck them. You know, don't support them. But if, you know, you didn't want to pay the $10 or whatever, I don't know if it's worth it. Even if you're into some of the classic wrestling stuff, you know, like I am, it's totally worth it. I mean, there's a lot of really good content actually on the network. The network is one of the few like really good things that they have been doing now for a number of years. There's a lot of really good stuff on there. And usually when I do these countdowns like the In Your House stuff, I'll tell people, if you got the network, follow along. And if I recommend 10 matches to go watch, you can go on the network and watch all 10. Now, you could probably go on YouTube or Daily Motion and do the same thing. Might be shitty quality, but I got no problem with them doing a free tier. See, I've been paying for it for years, but I've just gotten used to the fact that I'm paying for it and a lot of other people aren't. It's just the way it is. Brian Anthony Rivers, thank you for the $5. I appreciate that very much. All right, I think we're all caught up for the time being. I think so. I believe so. So with that being said, let's shift over here. Let us shift over and bring the conversation to the, I was going to say the Sound Off Universe. Jesus, I sound like them now. I have my buzzwords. The Sound Off Universe. Wow. That is awful. 978. The Sound Off Universe. That's so terrible. 978, are you there?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Solid Monster. My name is Luke. I'm the Diamond Dallas Dance Machine, Harrison Phillips' younger brother.
Oh, hey, Luke. What's going on? It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, I appreciate the time you put in each podcast. I listen every week.
Thank you.
I also want to thank you for the birthday shout-outs you gave me and my twin brother for the past 2 years.
Oh, that's my pleasure. I hope that you guys... I was hoping that you guys heard it, so that makes me happy that you guys actually listened and heard it.
So, I have a question for you.
Sure.
So, with the Mike Tyson and Jericho storyline, do you think it's sad because it was already used with the Steve Austin and Tyson storyline? Do you find it sad or interesting?
I don't know that it's either one. I mean, it's... I'm kind of in the middle. I wish that maybe they put their own spin on it. Like, instead of just doing a shove or whatever, they tried to change it a little bit. I'm interested to see if they have a match, or maybe it doesn't go anywhere. Apparently, nothing is signed. So, they're hoping to get Tyson in for something. I don't know if it'll be a wrestling match. I don't know if it'll be some fake boxing match. If they can get him, he's still a big name. So, I'm kind of interested to see what happens. But, I don't know. It's 50-50 if anything's going to come out of it. If nothing comes out of it, then the whole thing was stupid. The whole thing's a waste of time. And hopefully they can get something out of it.
And the last thing before I go is about AEW Dark. You said that you don't watch, so basically to fill you in, it's just basically like a squash match after a squash match. You know, it's basically that.
So it's like what WWF Superstars used to be when I was a kid. Well, listen,
thank you so much.
I'm glad you called in. Is there anything else? I'm glad you called in. This is the first time you're calling into the stream, right? Is this your first time calling in?
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you have to call in again sometime.
All right, I will. Thank you.
All right, have a good night. Yeah, Harrison and his whole family are big supporters of the show, and so anytime I get the chance to talk to them is a good night. I'm glad that Luke was able to make it through. That was awesome. That was a great first call. And that takes us all the way to Philadelphia.
How's it going, Solomon? I'm actually writing Pennsylvania. I don't know why he always shows up in Philadelphia.
I don't know either. Direct. I feel like it's like the whole Vince McMahon WWE thing. This city isn't big enough. Let's just call it by the... Let's go to the major city in the state. Nobody cares about Reading. It never comes up as Reading.
Well,
it always comes up. You know what? Hold on. As you talk, I'm going to see if I can change this. So go ahead and ask your question.
Well, I was going to say, it's kind of funny because they actually had a SmackDown here in Reading a lot of years back. So it was one of the first times at the what's called the Sovereign Center here in the city of Reading. That's one of the first times they opened. It was the very first event there at the Sovereign Center, I believe. So they did have a SmackDown here before. So it's not the lost city in Pennsylvania for sure, but like no one really wants to be here either. So it's kind of one of those things.
You said it, not me. I didn't say that.
Hey, it's out there, brother. You know what I mean?
I know.
I guess the question, a few things. The one thing is with regards to Fyter Fest. What do you think? What's your opinion on what went into their decision to put it on TNT? Because last year's Fyter Fest was free as well on BR Live. Now, I'm guessing the whole London thing was the whole draw that they were going to have it out there, and they were going to probably charge it for it this year. But since they had it last year for free, I'm kind of surprised they're just putting it on TNT for two nights, no less. What do you think went into that?
I think part of it is probably just the situation that's going on now where, you know, the lack of fans. And, you know, instead of charging people for it as a pay-per-view, I think they like the idea of doing pay-per-views once every few months. They don't want to oversaturate things. And so they figured, well, this could be a good draw for TNT. Let's try to get the ratings up a little bit. We'll spread it out over the course of 2 weeks. Apparently that worked out well for WWE as far as how WrestleMania did on the network by all accounts. So I just kind of look at it as a ratings ploy more than anything else.
Now, since this is in July, I guess this kills another Fight for the Fallen type of show then as well, I would think anyway.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, normally Fight for the Fallen would be around the same time. And I mean, unless they just make that a special episode of Dynamite. But again, the whole Fight for the Fallen thing, I think they usually have some special guests there. You know, the whole point is to pay respect. Isn't the whole thing that they pay respect and honor the soldiers or the military, and they had some guests there, I think, well, first time.
No, last year was for gun violence, and at the end of the show, which was like a six hour show in the Florida heat in the middle of July.
Well, there you go.
Imagine how fun that was.
That's reason enough not to do it again.
Then Shad Khan came out with that check and everything. It was all big to do.
Yes.
Ran out of time.
I remember.
All that fun stuff. I guess the other thing to mention as well is, you know, at the main event tonight with Cody and Jungle Boy, which was a great match. It's kind of amazing that Jungle Boy, with how many years in the business, like maybe five or six, something crazy like that, can sell and tell a story better than a lot of the wrestlers that's been in it, you know, for a while now. Kind of amazing to me.
Yeah, but has it even been that long? That feels like, I don't think he's even been really an active wrestler even for that long. And they said he's 22 years old. I don't think he's been wrestling since he's been 17. I mean, maybe he was, but I don't even think he's got 5 years in the business yet.
Justin Credible said on his Twitter during the Double or Nothing that MJF and Jungle Boy are selling and telling a story better with a combined like 15 years in the business, something like that, than people do with a combined 30 years today, you know, with some wrestlers, something along the lines of that. But my question was, do you think, now it's looking more and more likely to me that you're right with Darby Allin and Cody, that I think Darby's going to be the one to take that TNT belt off of Cody. Do you think that Cody ends up turning heel then? That the heel turn there will happen? Because they keep saying how much that belt means to him and all that. Is that the thing that might just push him over the edge and become a full-fledged heel? I mean, it might have to be when fans are back or something like that to make it that much more impactful. But do you think that there's something there now? Because I'm starting to agree with you more and more about the whole Darby thing. So just your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's possible. It's hard to say because I don't see the Darby thing coming for a few more months. Maybe All Out. I don't think they're going to do the match at least until then. Could Cody snap, kind of like Diesel, at Survivor Series and go heel? He could. I just think, you know, when the time comes that he is eligible to wrestle for the world title, and we know that it's going to happen at some point. I just always pictured that as being like a big babyface win, and they kind of chronicle his fight to the world championship. You know, this is his big opportunity. I think that works better with him as a babyface. he is one of the biggest baby faces in the, if not the biggest in the entire company. I don't know that I would do it. I don't know that I would do it yet. But yeah, they could do it if they feel they've got three or four solid baby faces and they don't need him to be babyface. Sure. Yeah, I could see him going heel. It's just a matter of when.
And what are the odds that that stupid glove Batelli gave Sean Spears and Sean Spears' new finish is going to be the fucking heart punch? Pardon my language.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you know what? Maybe. The heart punch or just some punch to the jaw. It's just so stupid. I mean, look, it's an old school gimmick, right? Blackjack Mulligan had the glove. A lot of people had the glove, you know, many, many years ago. I remember a coal miner's glove match in WCW once. To me, it's going to take a lot more than a fucking glove to get me to give a shit about Sean Spears, given what he's doing at the moment. He came in and it's just, you know, I thought to myself, all right, he's going to show us what he was, I guess, missing in WWE or what they were missing in him. And I still have yet to see it. He lost his very first match in, the first big match he had. He lost to Cody. And that didn't do him any favors. And ever since then, he hasn't really been able to regain any real momentum. They were promoting a tag team partner for him. It looks like they dropped that. I don't know if they're going to keep up with that now or not. Now he's got a glove. Who cares? You know? I mean, who cares?
I remember saying to you before. I'll say it again. I don't give a rat's ass.
that's my whole point. Who does? I mean, who does?
Know, I said from the beginning, and I think I said to you before that I thought they dropped the Sean Spears Cody storyline way too fast. I thought there was a lot more legs there, and it just turned out I think that cut his legs off before he even got started for him.
Yeah, there could have been more. It's like they just kind of rushed to the next one. Like, let's just throw this guy a bone. We'll give him a big match. Cody's a bigger star. Cody's going to beat him, and then Cody's going to move on to other things, and they didn't have another plan. Cody had planned. They didn't have another plan for Sean Spears, and he's just sort of been... I don't know if they thought by putting Tully Blanchard with him, like, that alone would make him feel more special, or I don't know what they were thinking in all this, but when he lost, and then he lost again... And he lost again, and he kept losing. I don't care what wrestling company it is, whether it's WWE, AEW, NXT, wins and losses, they matter. And when you beat somebody over and over again, you're telling the audience, this guy's not that good. You know, he's not somebody that you really need to care too much about. And I don't think he's ever really recovered from that.
No, not at all. And also, before I go, thank you for reminding me that coal miner's glove match even happened. You know, I did a good job blocking that out of my head. Now it's back in my head again. Now I have to torture myself and watch that match.
What was it? Sting and Jake the Snake, right?
Sting and Jake. Sting and Jake, yeah.
That was the one, I think, where Jake got bitten in the face by his own snake.
Yep, absolutely. And also the one where Eric Watts almost got lynched in Philadelphia.
Well, let's not talk about that. All right, well, anyway, on that note... I'm going to let you go. Thank you for the call.
All right, have a good night, man.
You too. And I have it in my notes now for next time. Reading, not Philly. It's all the same to me. I'm from New York. It's all the same. Let us go to 781.
Hey, what's up, Jason? It's James. Good to hear from you again, and I'm glad you're podcasting and still going strong.
Always.
Big fan, always. I have a couple ideas. One involves Sean Spears, so I guess I'll start with that one first, since that was kind of the topic at hand with the last guy. I think the way you can make Sean Spears relevant is to actually have him lead his own faction. And AEW, I'll get to the other one in a minute, because this will lead into my second idea on how to make the other faction be cared about, but for Sean, I feel like what you could do is build a faction around him and have him be the lead or a lead guy. Maybe there isn't a lead guy. Maybe Tully's the lead guy. And he has a group of young, hungry, prospect talent, Sean Spears being one of them, MJF being another, because they've been, you know, on screen together along with Wardlow, and then FTR. I think that could be a very good faction if you actually build it up right. What do you think?
It could be. I mean, look, if you could almost put any combination of guys together, and if you build them up strongly enough, they could have success. And I think MJF in there is a shoo-in just because they've been kind of, you know, buddy-buddy when we see them in the audience at these shows, you know, playing cards or betting on whatever it is that they're doing. It could work. MJF, I don't think MJF needs to be in a group, though. You know, FTR, I could see them being part of a faction. And actually, FTR would make a lot of sense because you've got the Tully Blanchard connection there. And so there are a couple of old school guys. I could see them. You know what? I'll tell you what. If I were Tully Blanchard, just thinking in terms of, you know, in storyline here, if I were Tully Blanchard, I'd be a hell of a lot more interested in hitching my wagon to FTR than I am keeping with this Sean Spears guy. If anything, I would have Tully pull like a horseman beatdown and have FDR, FTR, not FDR. That would be a hell of a magic trick. I would have him have FTR beat down Sean Spears, and then Tully hops over to FTR and manages them. Right? I mean, I just think he would be a much better fit for them. Spears, he doesn't really need him. It's not like Tully's really done much for him. And then it's just a matter of figuring out what the right combination is. Him leading a faction, I don't see it. I think you're right back in the Dark Order situation. Like Brody Lee, he hasn't had a whole lot of success yet in terms of the whole Dark Order thing. Now you're going to put Sean Spears in a lead role in a faction. I think you've just got to get people to care about him first. Otherwise, who's going to take that group seriously?
Well, I was going to get to that in the second idea, but as far as your rebuttal to that, I have a counter argument. While I agree that maybe Tully doesn't need Sean and Sean doesn't need Tully, I do think Sean needs MJF, because anytime those two are together, it's gold. I think I thought that the minute I saw them on TV, that was like best act I've seen.
He needs
those
MJF.
Two together, I think, would be great.
He needs MJF a lot more than MJF needs him.
Oh, 100%. 100%. But him being with MJF and him being with, you know, guys like FTR, that's kind of why I recommended it, is like Tully could be the leader, maybe. And then it would be like a Four Horsemen deal, but there's not really a true leader, at least in the beginning days. And it's, even though we knew Ric Flair was like the main guy, but, you know, everybody was almost equal. In that sense, that's why I kind of recommended it. On the Dark Order, though, the second idea, and I know you're going to like this one. What if AEW contacts the guys that produce Lucha Underground? Everybody misses Lucha Underground, and maybe they can't bring, you know, back another season. But what if they contacted them, the creators of the show, decided to bring characters that were in the show into AEW? Here's an example of how you can do this properly, especially in the case of the Dark Order. What if you brought in Katrina and Mil Muertes to beat down, say, I don't know, somebody in the Dark Order that's just weak, and maybe that's the trio of leaders. It's not just Brody Lee. Maybe Brody Lee's kind of a side piece, and then it's Katrina leading the group, and you have Mil Muertes as like the big beefy like monster.
Poor Brody Lee.
This kind of group.
Brody Lee just spent the last however many years being the side piece in the Wyatt family, and about him once again being demoted to the side piece role. Poor bastard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he is a good talker to an extent.
He's okay. Look, he's okay. He's not a great talker. He's okay. We're only getting to hear from him really for the first time now. I'm not going to sit here and tell you Brody Lee is some great promo, because maybe he is. I haven't seen it. I haven't heard it. I like the idea of Mil Muertes and Katrina there, an act that really should land somewhere. It would not be under those names. That's a whole thing. I think it's I forgot the big media company, but Robert Rodriguez, they have ownership over all that stuff. I cannot see them signing it or licensing it over to I don't see that. I think that would be, never say never, but I don't see that happening. But, and I don't know what Katrina is up to these days. I don't know, you know, Ricky, what's his last name? Mil Muertes.
His name. always that's a good
escapes
question.
Me. His name always escapes me. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know if he's back in Mexico and in AAA, I think it was. Banderas. Yeah. I think it was Ricky Banderas. But if they can somehow find a way to put them back together, I love them together. I just thought they had this great chemistry on screen. I'd love to see Mil Muertes under whatever name, land in AEW. But tying it into the Dark Order, I don't know. I don't know about that.
They're already so neck deep in, and I don't think it's a case where it's like the Nightmare Collective yet. It's getting there, but it's not there yet. Yeah. So I was thinking maybe you bring them in and have them as like the kind of the leaders, and then Bodhi Lee, who's still kind of like a head honcho there, but like a little less than. You have those three together with the Dark Order. It'd probably add a lot more legitimacy to the Dark Order.
I mean, it might. I think he dropped his call. But, yeah, I think it could. It could add. I'll tell you what, it would make me a little more interested in the Dark Order. Any way you can get those two back on screen together, I'm okay with. If that's part of the Dark Order, then so be it. But, again, I kind of laugh because if you're talking about demoting Brody Lee back into the backup role in a faction, he's right back where he was when he was in WWE. And maybe that's where he should be, of him. And if they did bring in, Mil Muertes and Katrina, I'd have more interest in seeing them lead some kind of a group. But I'm also very partial to Lucha Underground. I miss that freaking show. I really do. I miss that show. You know what I miss? We never got a proper ending. They never wrapped up all the stories. That's what sucks when a good television show gets canceled and they never have a chance to wrap up the stories. Oh, boy. It's like Law and Order Criminal Intent. All right, 610. 610.
Hey, how's it going, fellow monsters? This is John from Philadelphia.
Hey, John.
Hey, so I've really been enjoying the past two seasons of Dark Side of the Ring. I feel like it's a great show that really highlights the not-so-great aspect of pro wrestling. I have just one quick question. Seeing that AEW is a new promotion, they really have a clean track record. Nothing's really, been brought up to them, negatively. What do you think, what steps do you think AEW could take to not have a track record of say, WWE, or they have all these scandals the past decades and controversies, and that they cannot end up on a show like Dark Side of the Ring. Whether that's implementing a wellness policy or other things that could keep their track record clean.
Well, I would say this. A lot of the story, and I'm gonna let you go. It's a good question. I would say this. A lot of the stories we see on Dark Side of the Ring are very dated. We've seen the David Schultz story that was in 1984, right? The slap on John Stossel. We've heard stories about the Jimmy Snuka thing back in 1983 and Owen Hart happened back in 99. That was a very different time in wrestling. It was a very different time in history. There were a lot of things going on back then that are not going on today. And actually, there's a lot of people who will shit on the new guys and will shit on people like the Bucks and Kenny Omega and all that because, they wouldn't hang for 2 seconds in a locker room with guys 30 years ago. Those guys were tough. Those guys could fight. Those guys, we were getting bar fights all the time. Those guys were doing all kinds of stuff, steroids and drugs and out drinking and doing God knows what else and ring rats and all that stuff that was going on. It was a very different time. And out of that, there were a lot of scandalous things that happened. And a lot of guys died young. A lot of guys died. Look at the Gino Hernandez story from season one, right? A lot of guys, the Von Erichs, I mean, that whole family's a walking tragedy. Tragedy after tragedy, young death after young death, drugs, sex, all kinds of stuff. Not saying that none of that goes on anymore, but, when you think of the top stars in WWE, Drew McIntyre, Bray Wyatt, Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns, AEW, you've got Kenny Omega, John Moxley, Cody. Come on. Like, they're not going to get the same kind of Dark Side of the Ring stuff. Like, you're just not. Because a lot of that shit, the really salacious stuff that would make for a good episode of Dark Side of the Ring, these guys, by comparison, are boring. Now, that's a good thing, because these guys will hopefully live normal lives and not die when they're fucking 40. I don't want to see that. But they, you know, they walk the straight and narrow. They got wives and kids, and everyone's lives are on social media now. Everything is documented in a way that it wasn't back in 1985. Or even 1995. You know, and the wrestling business, the top companies, WWE now, they're all corporate. You know, they're very protective of their image. They wouldn't stand for a lot of the shit that would go on back then. All AEW has to do is just, you know, keep doing what they're doing. You know, should they have a wellness policy established? They should. Yeah, they should. For the health and wellness of their talent, sure. Absolutely. But I don't know how that ties into Dark Side of the Ring. I don't know. Like, I don't see, you know, Darby Allin or Sammy Guevara, you know, dropping dead in 10 years because they live the hard partying lifestyle. Like, it's just a different time. So what can AEW do differently? Just make sure that your top stars keep their noses clean, and if they don't, get rid of them. Because today, you don't need that kind of PR headache. Everything is broadcast on social media, cell phones. You can't get away with the same shit that you can get away with 30 years ago. It just doesn't work. If there was any, you know, justice in that, Jimmy Snuka would have been locked up a long time ago. He got off easy. 646.
Big man! My dude, what's going on? It's A-Track Brown, brother.
Oh, A-Track. Why does it say... Why does it say Cesar Mendez in my notes?
Well, let me explain my trans-wealthy lifestyle to you, okay?
Who is Cesar Mendez?
I do not. That's my alias. I do not, nor will I ever have anything in my own name, okay? That's a fool's errand, my friend. All right? The trans-wealthy, we live ourselves great, and we live above everyone else.
I see.
That's how it is. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, my brother. I have a question about a certain NXT talent, and I want to know your thoughts on it.
Sure.
He used to be Gunner in Impact Wrestling.
Oh, boy.
Well,
he's not NXT. Yeah. He's main roster now. He's main roster now.
Oh, he's main roster now. Yeah.
Or at least he was.
So, at least he was. What is going on with the black chest and all his, is this heel work? Is this really him? Apparently he has a half sister who's black. I mean, what's going on? It's crazy.
Well, from what I can see, I mean, if it is a work, it's the worst fucking work that's ever been worked, right? It's the stupidest thing that you could possibly do. I don't think it's a work. I think what was he, a Marine? Is that what he was? Was he a Marine? I know he served in the military in some...
He served. I think it was Marine.
I think it was a Marine. So I've seen him. I don't follow him on Twitter, but I've seen occasionally he'll post, you know, very patriotic type stuff. And, you know, obviously, you know, supporting the president, and I'm proud of my country. And that's fine. You can be proud of your country. Nothing wrong with that. But when I saw the tweet, my first thought was the same thing. Like, wait a minute. He put his wrestling catchphrase at the end of the tweet. And I know that's what Kevin Owens got really upset about. And good on Kevin Owens, because Kevin Owens did not hold back. And he went right after him and said, look, you know, you're entitled to your opinion, but to attach your shitty catchphrase to the end of your tweet tells me the kind of person that you are. It was a stupid fucking thing for him to do. He is certainly, and I've heard this, and I believe this to be true. He is entitled to his opinion. It is a free country, or it's supposed to be anyway. Supposed to be. And
yes,
so,
sir.
Therefore, he can say whatever he wants on his social media. He is free to express himself. But when you do that, you are also free to deal with the consequences of what you say. And so now he is feeling the heat for making a tweet that a lot of people were obviously very upset about. Then the Facebook post, which was even worse, And I believe he has since put his Facebook profile on private. But I guess there was some kind of a Facebook status from a while back where he, and I don't have it in front of me. I don't have it clipped, but he was, he mentioned, I guess, the movie 12 Years a Slave. I don't know. I don't remember the context of it, but he said, you know, these people don't know how good they really have it. And it was like this whole ridiculous thing that really exposed him, I think, for the real shithead that he is. I'm not going to sit here and say, I see people saying WWE, they should fire him. How come they haven't fired him? He didn't say or do anything that's fireable. I'm not going to call for the guy's job. I think by him saying things like that, he has exposed himself, and now he's going to have to deal with the heat and the consequences of that. His partners came right out, Cutler and the other guy, Wesley Blake, and they were trying, you can see clearly, they were trying to distance themselves from what he said, because they don't want that heat to blow back on them. I'll say this about the whole forgotten.
Definitely social distancing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's a good one. That's a different type of social distancing that they were trying to do, because they see this guy, they see his career melting before their very eyes. He said some really dumb shit before, and I'll just give my opinion. I've said this before on my podcast. Anybody who listens to me knows this from a wrestling perspective. I have no use for the Forgotten Sons. I didn't like them when they were in NXT. I thought they were fucking boring. I said if they get called up to the main roster, they're going to end up like Sanity. They're not going to go anywhere. So what happened? They got called up to the main roster. Then they haven't been called up for long. And they kind of got a little bit of a mini push at first. But they're going nowhere fast. And after this, they're going nowhere fast. They're no different on the main roster to me than they were in NXT. They were a bore there. They're a bore here. There's nothing interesting about them. There's nothing exciting about them. And I feel a little bad for Cutler and Blake. They've got some talent. Riker, I've never understood what the appeal is with him other than he's got big muscles. He looks the part. He's all tatted up. He keeps himself in shape. Beyond that, even the Gunner stuff in TNA, I don't see the fucking appeal in this guy. He's fucking television repellent when I see him come on my television screen. When he was in NXT, he barely wrestled. I thought maybe he was hurt. I said, how come this guy barely ever wrestles? It's always the other two wrestling. Always. Like, he was almost always, he never wrestled. And then they called him up to the main roster, and it's the same shit. It's always Cutler, and it's Blake. So the guy doesn't even fucking wrestle. So I ask you, why is he there? Why is he employed if he's not going to wrestle? They just fired 30 or 40 different wrestlers. A lot of talented wrestlers got let go and got cut in April by this company, including some people who had no business being cut. And they claim, oh, budget cuts, budgetary reasons. We have to cut these people. How the fuck are you going to cut all those people and Jackson fucking Riker still has a job? What is it about this guy that they feel we've got to keep this guy? We've got to get rid of all these people. But this guy who never even gets in the fucking ring, well, we got to keep him around.
Well, I have a theory on that.
Makes no sense to me.
The theory I have of them keeping him is for military purposes when they do a tribute to the troops or something like that.
God's sakes.
Just to say that, hey, we have this guy who served just like Bobby Lashley.
Well, you know what? You've got Bobby Lashley. There's a good guy. You want to feature somebody? There's a good guy. Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley's got big muscles just like Jackson Riker. He doesn't have the tattoos that he does, but so what? Bobby Lashley's in great shape. Bobby Lashley's challenging for the championship in a couple of weeks. You want to honor somebody? Honor Bobby Lashley. You want to honor somebody? Honor Lacey Evans. Lacey Evans was a Marine, right? Cutler, I think Cutler as well. Cutler was also, I don't know if he was a Marine or what branch he served in. I don't buy that. You've got plenty of military veterans on that roster. You want to pay tribute to them? You can pay tribute to them just fine. You don't need Jackson Riker to do that. This guy's poison.
Very true.
He brings nothing to the table. And I'm not just saying this because he said some dumb shit on social media. I'm trying to look at this from a talent perspective here. Why do they keep him around if he never wrestles in NXT or the main roster? When you're cutting all of these costs and you're getting rid of all of these people, how does this guy still have a fucking job? It makes no sense to me.
You're right, man. And one thing I wanted to say before you let me go, I wanted to get your opinion on Darby Allin. Since Sting is released from WWE, do you think it would make a good idea to somehow align Darby Allin with Sting? Because I look at Darby Allin, and I get this feeling that he could be AEW's version of Sting. If you understand what I mean. So do you think aligning him with Sting would raise his stock or hurt him?
I don't think he needs Sting. I don't think it would hurt him because Sting's a big name. I think people like Sting, and I think he might overshadow Darby Allin. If you kind of put them together, you run that risk, I think, of that happening. It would be an interesting pairing. I just don't think he needs him. I think Darby's over on his own. It sucks because everything that happened, you don't get these crowds anymore that were going nuts for him when he would come out. He was already on his way up without Sting. I don't think it's necessary.
Oh, awesome. All right. Thanks a lot, brother. Listen, hey, be safe out there, man, because I know you're out in Brooklyn and they're going crazy like it's a do the right thing type movie. So you keep yourself cool. And hey, I got a blunt with your name on it, man. So it's you and me one day, all right?
Well, I'm hoping one day I get to do my meetups again. I have no idea when that's going to be, but hopefully you'll be able to make it out for the next one.
No problem, brother. Be safe.
All right. Have a good night. So that was 8-Track Brown, one of our Facebook group members. I mean, again, the Jackson Riker, I was going to probably wait until Sunday and get into all this stuff. There's things, just so many things happening every single day, and things are changing and developing, and it's a heavy situation. And then all these wrestlers now, and WWE put a statement out and everything, but the Jackson Riker thing, I mean, am I not making sense when I mentioned the fact that this guy barely ever wrestled when he was in NXT? And now he's on the main roster, and all he does is stand there. Doesn't even speak. He just stands there. What does he bring to the roster? What does he bring to the roster? And now he's incited all of his coworkers, who now have no respect for him at all. I would never sit here and advocate that somebody get fired and lose their job. I'm just raising the point. I don't know how he has a job in the first place. He wouldn't work for my company. I'll tell you that much. 248. Let's see if we can get 248 on the line. There we go. 248.
Hello, it's Markel. How are you?
Good, Markel. How are you?
Good. What do you think about Drake Maverick getting the contract? You saw that coming?
I did not even know that happened. I have not watched NXT yet, so why don't you go ahead and, I guess for anybody...
I think I was giving out spoilers.
Yeah, well... I guess for anybody listening who doesn't want any spoilers, you can mute this. But just give me the quick dirty on what happened, and then I'll give you my thoughts.
He lost, and then he was accidenting, crying, being dramatic, and then Triple H came and gave him a contract to sign.
All right. Well, that's what I thought. I thought that might happen. That's the whole Cedric Alexander thing when he lost in the Cruiserweight Classic. Look, I'm happy for Drake Maverick if this was a situation where he really was let go and then they surprised him and said, surprise, we're going to give you a new contract. I feel great for Drake Maverick, but I don't know. How do these other people feel who got cut where it wasn't a storyline and they really did lose their job? I just wonder how they feel. Mm-hmm. They like Drake enough. You know what? I'm willing to bet they're probably really happy for him. A lot of those people. It just seems to me you're playing with people's lives here. I don't know. It just kind of rubs me the wrong way. But look, if it's a real situation and he really thought he was fired and they gave him a new contract, then good for him. I don't think he should have been cut to begin with.
I don't think they're going to do anything with him after this.
No, of course not.
What? The 24/7
of course
title?
Not. You think it's going to be any different? Of course not. They're not going to do shit with him, but at least he'll get a paycheck. So good for him. He's in the middle of a pandemic. I'm glad that he's going to be getting a paycheck at least.
What do you think of AEW?
Well, I mean, I just spent an hour talking about it, so I thought it was good.
I just joined in.
you got to join in earlier, Markel. You can't be waiting until the last minute. You got to tune in from the very beginning to see all the fun stuff. No, I thought overall it was not a great show. I thought it was good. I liked the main event a lot, and I enjoyed the Britt Baker stuff. I think it's very entertaining.
The Brit right there. I can see her going a long way.
Absolutely. Anything else? I'm going to just try to get through some more calls here. Anything else before I let you go?
Oh, no. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. There you have it. Breaking news from Markell. Drake Maverick apparently has been offered a new contract with WWE. They were going for the feel-good moment on TV. And there you go. Apparently he is employed once again. Let's go to 416. I believe this may be up in the Great White North. Is this Canada?
Yes. Quick question. When this whole pandemic stuff is over, and I guess when his situation is over, do you think AEW could benefit significantly if AEW were to sign Alberto Del Rio? You know, you know, he might be a good asset. Whole crowd in Mexico. What are your thoughts?
Alberto Del Rio. Now, let me ask you, is that a real question? Like, you're serious with that question?
Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
100%. Okay. Well, I'll give you my thoughts on Alberto Del Rio. Hold on one second. I'll give you my thoughts. I promise you, I'll give you my thoughts right now on Alberto Del Rio. See this? This is a garbage can. This is where Alberto Del Rio belongs. Alberto Del Rio does not belong in WWE. Alberto Del Rio does not belong in AEW. Right here. Basura. This is where Alberto Del Rio belongs. So, that's my thoughts on Alberto Del Rio. Since I believe that was a serious question, I wanted to give you a serious answer. 646.
Hey, Soul Monster. How's it going? It's JC. What's up, man?
What's going on, JC?
I just want to say thanks for the message that you sent on Facebook, you know, about what I said about me dealing with depression and stuff like that. And it meant a lot to me that day. It made my day. And I just wanted to call and say thank you, you know, for all the content that you produce for all the fans here during these times. And even for a guy like me, I know I kind of just started. I'm kind of new-ish to your content, even though I've been listening, like, from your sound bites for years. I just want to say that. And I also wanted to ask a question that's Lucha Underground related, I would say.
Sure, and absolutely. And I appreciate
even
that.
Even though I have not really got to finish the end of seasons or so, like something like that, but mm-hmm. I hope to get to that soon. But I was thinking, like, would you ever do like maybe a top 10 Lucha Underground matches of all time?
Well, I think I did. I'm pretty sure when I expected that the show probably wasn't coming back, I thought I did some kind of countdown, and I'm pretty sure it was top 10. I don't remember offhand what episode it was. If you search around, though, or maybe even somebody in the chat knows, I did some kind of countdown, and it might have been the top 10 or 15 best Lucha Underground matches. This would have been, I don't know, maybe a couple of years ago. So if you search online, like Solomonster, like top Lucha Underground matches, it might come up. If not, email me then, and I'll see if I can find it on my own. But I'm pretty sure I did a countdown once.
Oh, sure, no problem. Another last thing before I go. Do anyone from Lucha Underground could benefit in AEW or WWE that have not been signed or have shown up yet?
From WWE? probably better off going to AEW at this point. I don't know. I was talking before about Mil Muertes and Katrina. I think...
Yeah, I heard that.
I think they would do well in WWE. Maybe they would do better in AEW. I don't know, but you know, he's a big dude. Katrina is, I mean, she's very talented. She can wrestle. She's great, you know, on the eyes. If they're going for sex appeal, like, which is what they're doing basically with Scarlett Bordeaux, with Karrion Kross and NXT. So I think they would do well in WWE if you kept them together. I think as a unit, I think, you know, Pentagon is in AEW, so he's out. He was one of my favorites on that show. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I think back to, like, you know, Angelico and Jack Evans and those types of guys, they would just wind up on 205 Live. I mean, maybe NXT, but they're not going to really do much with those guys. I don't think there's anyone offhand who I think has to be in WWE right now. I don't. And the few people that I can think of, I'd almost rather see them go somewhere else.
Yeah, like I was thinking about, like Ivelisse. I think she was at AEW's at the Casino Battle Royal last year.
Well,
like Ivelisse.
Yeah, and I've talked.
She could be in AEW.
I've talked about Ivelisse.
I mean, she's great.
Ivelisse is very talented, and for years I said on my show, I don't understand. You know, why is she still a free agent? You know, when she got out of her contract with Lucha Underground, it was like, she's a free agent. She'll land in the AEW women's division. And then she didn't. And I started to hear stories from people who shall remain unnamed who sent me messages explaining why Ivelisse has likely not been hired and picked up anywhere. And then it kind of made sense to me. You know, there's been stories over the years about her rubbing people the wrong way or attitude issues and stuff. And, you know, you hear enough stories, who knows what the real reason is. But she hasn't been signed. So there's got to be a reason why people aren't going after her. And that may have something to do with it. It could have more to do with things she said or her demeanor and stuff. Again, I don't know that for a fact, but it's very peculiar to me that she is still unsigned. And I think that kind of says volumes there on that.
Yeah, I understand. I understand greatly. But, well, anyway, thanks again, Solid Monster, for having me on the show, and hope you have a good night and be safe out there.
Thank you. You too. I appreciate that. No one's denying Ivelisse's talent. And again, it really is a shame that she hasn't landed somewhere, because I think she could really be, I think she could be a really positive addition to someone's women's division. I really do, WWE or AEW. But think about that. Why hasn't she been picked up? It's got to be a reason why. And then you start to see, okay, well, your reputation gets around. Unfortunately, that could work against you. You start seeing some smoke to the fire. Let's go to 501.
Hello, I have a bit of a four-part question.
Okay.
What is your opinion on NWA Power? And have you watched any of the episodes relating to that? And if you have, who are your favorite wrestlers on there? And do you think it has a chance in being the number three promotion in wrestling?
I have watched it. I've reviewed it on my show. I am a fan of NWA Power. I watched the episodes. I interviewed the vice president of the NWA on my show, talking about the product. So I like a lot of the personas and characters on there. Tim Storm, and I think Nick Aldis has done a tremendous job as the NWA champion, and Thunder Rosa. So they've got some really good talent on that roster. Could they be the number three promotion? Probably not. They're just not that big. You know, they have a niche that they fill. I like the studio environment. I think it's a nice throwback. It's not a show that's heavy on in-ring action. It really is focused more on character development and promos. It's just a different kind of product. It's not for everybody. WWE is always going to be number one just because of how freaking big they are. AEW is sort of the de facto number two. Ring of Honor is number three. Ring of Honor has a lot more money behind it than NWA does. It is a bigger promotion. For NWA to be number three, it's going to take some time. And look, there's a 50-50 shot. The NWA does not survive this pandemic. I mean, that's just the fact, the reality of the situation. You know, Billy Corgan and Lagana were doing an interview on their YouTube channel a couple weeks ago, talking to Joe Galli. And, you know, it was like a Skype interview with them. And they said, when it comes to dollars and cents, we have to see where this thing goes. They're losing money. The longer this pandemic and the shutdown and everything drags on, you know, 6 months from now, there's no guarantee there's going to be an NWA. I hope there is. But to say that they're number three, no. It's going to be a while, I think, if ever, before you can say that they're number three in the country.
Do you think the studio format could probably be turning viewers away from the product, because they probably are so used to, you know, the WWE style things that when they look at the studio setup, they think, you know, it's probably a Bush League promotion.
They might.
Could that be why it's not?
They might think that, but you know what? They have to carve out their own style of wrestling. They can't just be WWE. Nobody can be WWE. Only WWE can. And even that's hit or miss. AEW, they've got to be their own product. NWA should not try to be like any of them. That's what TNA tried for so many years. TNA was like WWE light. And then they'd go through some years there where I actually thought they had the better product than WWE. And then they would slip right back into that WWE light, you know, nonsense. NWA can't do that. I like the fact that they're in the studio. I think it's okay for them to get out of there every now and then. They were having some other events that were not in the studio. You know, the Crockett Cup, they had to cancel. That was, I believe that was going to take place in an actual, like a small arena, like a small building. Other special events I'm sure they had planned. I think they just keep doing what they were doing and just hope that they can get people back into the buildings, you know, soon enough. Crockett Cup, they were going to make money on the Crockett Cup. Lagana said they probably lost about $500,000 by not being able to do that show. So it's not like they weren't having any success. I think they were carving out their own style. I wouldn't stop doing that. Keep doing that. It was working for them. But you've got to keep growing, and you know, eventually maybe they would have had to move out of the studio. I don't know. But to just do what WWE does, you can't. WWE runs 10,000 seat buildings. NWA can't put 10,000 people in a building. I don't know that they could put 5,000 people in a building. You know, you got to start small and just work your way up. They're not there yet. You know, if they ever get there, it's going to take time.
TV deal would help.
What's that?
You think maybe like what AEW's doing with their TNT deal, you think if maybe NWA had their own TV deal, would that, you know, expand their brand a bit?
It might. It would have to be a good TV deal. You know, you mentioned TV deal. It makes me think about MLW. And I think a lot of people are sleeping on MLW. But that's another great example, right? MLW has been making a lot of the right moves, and nobody talks about them. I, you know, and I'm guilty of the same thing. I don't have the time that I would like to have to dedicate to watching MLW Fusion every single week, or else I might review it on my show. And at some point, I might start reviewing it on my show if enough people wanted to see it. I just don't know that the interest is there.
And I've been a regular viewer of MLW, and they have a style that's, you know, very different when compared to the WWE and the other wrestling promotions.
But they've got talent. And I have to say this about MLW. They have a lot of quality talent. You know, Jacob Fatu is a huge signing for them. They have a lot.
Yes,
Alex Hammerstone. I mean, they have a lot of good. MJF. You know, MJF was cutting his teeth there until AEW signed him full time. He was MJF in MLW long before he was MJF in AEW. So the talent is there. They, I believe, just signed a TV deal. I don't know if they revealed exactly where or like all the details. But Court Bauer, he's had meetings with big media executives, and you know, MLW is growing. But again, they're the ones that are going to get hit hardest by this whole pandemic. WWE can weather the storm. They've got tons of money. They've got more money now because they just cut a whole bunch of people. So if this pandemic lasts another 2 years, you know, WWE's not going anywhere. That's when it starts to hurt companies like MLW. So I hope they can survive this. MLW is in a much better position right now, I think, than the NWA to kind of maybe get to that number three spot at some point. I could see them eventually, you know, getting into that number three spot.
You mentioned a pandemic. Where do you see New Japan going once this whole thing is over?
Well, hopefully.
Do you think they'll, you know, be in a better spot, or do you think the results of the pandemic will probably hurt the company a little bit?
Well, I mean, it's already hurt them. You know, they're already losing money. I know a bunch of their executives took a pay cut. They did not want to. And this says a lot about, I think, their thinking, especially as compared to WWE. They wanted to try to limit the damage and not have to cut pay for talent and stuff. So they cut their own pay. You know, a lot of the top executives, the president, Harold Mage, and all these other people. And so they're taking a hit. There's no doubt about it. They're taking a hit. Hopefully they'll be okay. I mean, that would be unbelievably awful if New Japan had to fold. I don't think they're in jeopardy of that just yet. But you never know, right? With the way things are going and how long this may or may not go, or if they start running shows and then there's a second wave. But you can drive yourself nuts just worrying all the time. Hopefully they'll be able to start running empty arena shows soon. I think that's their first step. They want to run empty buildings. And as soon as they get the all clear and they think it's safe... I saw Hiroshi Tanahashi. He did some kind of interview, and he made the comment he feels wrestling should be the very last thing to come back. He's in no rush. He says it has to be safe. It has to be safe for the talent, and it has to be safe for the fans. And he said to all the talent in New Japan, stay in shape. Take advantage of this time off. Heal your bodies. Work out. Stay in shape. So when we get the high sign, we're ready to come back. We'll be good to go. So hopefully New Japan can rebound very quickly. No New Japan Cup this year, obviously. Best of the Super Juniors. All that stuff, unfortunately, is probably not happening. The G1. What's going to happen with the G1? The G1 was pushed back to the fall this year because of the Olympics, which now isn't happening. Are we not going to get a G1 climax this year? It's very possible. Very possible, but I think New Japan will rebound. I think they'll be okay. All right, let's do a couple more, and then we'll wrap up here. Let's go to 239. Let's see if this works. There we go. 239.
Is that me?
Yes, it is.
All right. Hey, Jason, it's Michael. We actually met a few years ago back in WrestleMania 33 at the at Florida, the one that Undertaker, quote unquote, retired in.
I remember. What was the name of that place again? The restaurant that I had picked, was it? I forgot the name of it.
I can't remember what I had for breakfast today.
I wanted to give them a shout out. They were good to us. I wanted to shout them out, but I don't remember the name. But yeah, I remember the meetup, and I'm glad you were able to make it out. But what's your question?
Actually, it's about AEW, about the tag team rules that ends up happening. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've noticed, but like a lot of the rules get broken a lot.
Oh yeah, and the referees aren't helping.
Yeah, and I just wanted to know your thoughts about it. You know what you thought about it, about like how, I mean, I remember this one time with Orange Cassidy. That he like jumped on a couple of wrestlers, and it was a tag team match involving the Best Friends, and bam, like no disqualification or nothing. It was just part of the match, and he wasn't even part of the match. So that's like just wanted to get your thoughts on that, and then about tonight's main event with Cody and Jungle Boy. Do you think it was necessary for Cody to get bloody on the first title defense? I mean, because it kind of seemed like it was planned, but I don't think it was necessary to have him bleed. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I mean, it wasn't necessary at all. I don't know why he felt he had to do that in the match tonight. It just felt kind of unneeded. Like you said, first title defense. It does add drama to the match. I just don't think... thank you to Yukio Rules for the $30 Monster Mania Super Chat. Thank you, brother. So yeah, to answer your question, it wasn't necessary. You can't bleed in every match, and now you've taken that weapon out of the out of your holster. So you gotta wait a while. I would say you gotta wait a while before you bleed again, but he's a Rhodes. He may bleed every week. Who knows? He may bleed every week. As far as tag teams in AEW, for a company that, you know, coming in said that they were going to put more of the focus on the rules and the rankings and making it more sport-like, I think in some ways they have failed. In some ways they've succeeded. I like the fact they have rankings they're trying to stick to. Outside of rankings, I mean, you guys tell me, does AEW feel to you like that much more of a sport-like product than WWE? Because it doesn't to me. I think they do great video packages. I like the ranking system. But beyond that, what is so sport-like about AEW? And I'm only saying that because that's how they were promoting themselves when they were first, you know, really launching the product and the brand. I don't see it. One of the things you need to focus on, if you want to be more sport-like, is following the rules and making sure the referees can actually do their job and not look like goofballs. I think they've dropped the ball on that. I think that's one of the weak points of the product. I agree. Let us just play some catch-up here, because we had a whole bunch of super chats that came in after the fact. And I want to show some love to everybody who took time out of their night to support the stream. It's the least I can do. We still have super chats coming in, man. You guys are all right. You guys are okay. It's almost midnight. You guys should be going to bed. Nathan Cania, thank you. I did not miss your super chat earlier. The True Heel Master, again, thank you very much. Turtlehead. Our buddy Turtlehead in the chat. And Food Hive says, I was cooking for my channel. I didn't know you had a cooking channel. Or maybe you told me once and I forgot. You should send me a link. Actually, I think you did tell me once. But anyway, everybody go go check out Food Hive's chat. I don't know what the name of it is. Maybe if he tells me in the chat, I can let everybody know. But thank you for the super chat. Scott DeVries, thank you very much. Chris Quillman, can you suggest 3 non-AEW Kenny Omega matches? Three of the four that he had with Okada. There you go. That's all you need. Although he had great matches with Tanahashi, Wrestle Kingdom. Yeah, I'd say Dominion with Okada, Tanahashi at Wrestle Kingdom. Oh, God, he had so many of them. You know, with Ibushi. I saw him have a great match in New Japan with Big Mike. Elgin. He's had a lot of good ones. Magician Sapphire, thank you for the $10. Says his prediction is that AEW is setting up Cody against Spears 2 for the TNT title with Spears going over. That might be about the only thing that can make him feel relevant is if he wins that championship. But I would not put the title on him anytime soon. It's going to take some work to get me to buy into him with a title. Mundane Wrestling Butthole. You just wanted me to say that, didn't you? Mundane Wrestling. You know what? I'd rather watch Mundane Wrestling Butthole on Monday nights instead of Monday Night Raw, that god-awful show. What's your take on how WWE is using their NXT talent and recruits for crowd noises? I think it's a fine idea. I don't like the stories I hear about them coming over the PA system during these tapings and, you know, browbeating these poor people to make more noise, be more active. You know, you're making these people stand for 7 hours at a time. How active do you want them to be? Psycho Jet Black, you are more of a manhood than Jackson Ryker. I don't know about that, but thank you. Yukio Rules, again, thank you for the 30. And he likes my idea of Darby beating Cody for the TNT title. What if they were able to get Pac to come in and beat Cody instead? That'd be okay. I like the story more with Darby being the one to do it, though. I think it should be Darby. And then you could do Darby and Pac. Then you could do Darby and Pac after that. Carlos Lugo, I think I think we're all caught up now. Carlos Lugo, thank you. When do you think that enough is enough and Nia Jax should get fired for injuring her peers? Do you think she is protected by being The Rock's cousin? I'm sure that doesn't hurt. Nia Jax, you know, I heard all week long reports from the Performance Center said it wasn't Nia's fault. Don't jump on Nia yet. When you see it, you'll know. It wasn't her fault. Well, I waited. I held my tongue and I waited and I watched with my own two eyes. And I know they edited it so we didn't get to see the blood and everything. I did see the gash on Kyrie's head. It was very nasty. Well, guess what? I watched Mundane Night Raw on Monday night and I saw the match and I saw the spot. And that's absolutely Nia Jax's fucking fault. I don't want to hear the shit that, Nia's not to blame. Nia's not to blame. You know what I believe? I believe my eyes. And what I saw on Monday night was Nia Jax's fault. You could say, Kyrie lost her footing because she got thrown into the fucking steps by Nia Jax. Nia Jax needs to go back to NXT. Nia Jax is one of these talents who was called up way too soon. Lacey Evans was called up way too soon, but I don't hear stories about Lacey Evans injuring people and dislocating their jaws when she gives them the woman's right. I don't hear stories like that about Lacey Evans. I don't hear stories like that about anybody who's been called up recently from NXT. Nia Jax needs to go back down to develop. She's already in the Performance Center every week. Let her stay there. She has no business being on the main roster. She was called up way too soon. Obviously, she's inexperienced. It's not a coincidence that she's involved in these different situations. couldn't believe that when I saw that. I was waiting to see, you know, well, it's not Nia's fault. Let's see, you know, maybe it's Kyrie's fault. No, it was Nia Jax's fault. I saw it with my own two eyes. This woman is a danger to the people that she's in the ring with. She has no business being in the ring on Monday nights. She has no business being in the ring on Wednesday nights. I didn't say put her on NXT television. I just said send her back down to developmental. Food Hive, thank you again. The channel name, his YouTube channel is Food Hive, just like his name, Food, H-Y-V-E. So go ahead and give his channel a follow. Solid Monster approved, the Food Hive channel on YouTube. All right, we're going to wrap it up after this. We still got a whole bunch of callers coming in. I tell you what, we'll do two more, and then we'll get the hell out of here. How's that sound? How does that sound to you? Does that sound all right? All right, let's go to 405. 405.
Hey, Solid Monster.
Hey.
Hey, it's Bill Mitchell, a.k.a. the Professor.
Hey, what's going on, Professor Bill Mitchell, who I think I've interacted with Bill probably going back, what, 7 or 8 years by now?
Oh, yeah. Well, let's see. I was watching the sound
maybe longer.
60-something.
Oh, my, that goes back even longer. That probably goes back to like 2009 or 2010.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're the... Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Sorry, sir.
No, I was just going to say, you're the second to last call. I'm glad I got you on, but what's your main question coming out of the show tonight?
Well, that's just it. I didn't watch the show tonight. I have an important question about what happened in a couple episodes back on the, you know, the Dark Side of Wrestling.
Okay.
Okay. The funniest takeaway I had was the Godfather saying that Vince McMahon himself took bumps. And I don't think, I don't know. I just, something in me says he didn't take bumps while there was strippers in the club. But what say you?
Well, I've heard, I mean, Bret Hart has told the same story because he was there. So I assume you're talking about the story of him taking the Doomsday Device. I believe that's a true story.
Yeah, sure.
He was, when he says he took bumps, I mean, I think it was just them horsing around and some of the guys were just kind of, I don't know if they were pantomiming or actually doing their finishers. Obviously they weren't hitting him. Yeah. I don't think they were hitting him full force. Maybe LOD did. But yeah, it just sounds to me like a bunch of drunken, you know, idiots like we've all been at one time or another, horsing around at a bar, and Vince, you know, took some finishes and took the Doomsday Device a little rough. Yeah, I mean, I've heard the story told by multiple people, so I assume it's true.
Yeah, I never heard about that, so I just want to double check.
Oh yeah, Brent talked about it. Brent talked about that in his book.
Oh. I have to read his book.
Yep.
So my question to you is, what big story would you want covered in the next series of shows?
Well, I've talked about that on the show. I've given a whole bunch of ideas of what I think they could do. I actually got a really interesting mailbag question from somebody this week, and I'll answer it again on the show on Sunday. But I agree with this person. He was asking me, he goes, you know, after this whole Hana Kimura story, do you think that she would make a good subject, or is it too soon? And my thought is, it's never too soon to cover a story like that and everything that went into what she was going through and what led to her doing what she did. I think it would be rather timely. And you got to remember, they haven't even started filming the third season yet. So by the time that episode comes out, you're looking probably a year and a half, maybe 2 years down the road. You know, it's not like it's coming out in 3 months. I think that her story, sad as it was, would be a good subject for a show like that. And just to kind of bring that back into the conversation. And it is a very sad story. I mean, it fits the theme of the show. So she's one of those people who I think would make for a good subject, depressing as it may be, on that show. But yeah, I've talked on the podcast about other ideas from Pillman to China, you know, the WWE Vince McMahon steroid trials, a lot of subjects that you could pick from. And we will go out west for our final call of the night. 213.
Good evening, Trauma Monster.
It is Luis.
Yes, it is.
How are you, sir?
Still kind of sad.
Well, I don't like hearing that. I want you to be happy. Did you watch Dynamite or NXT tonight?
I caught both.
Okay. Well, what? They didn't put you in a good mood?
A little bit. It's just that, I can't believe my fridge killed my milk.
I didn't catch that. I didn't get. I heard milk. That's all I heard. What was that last part?
No, my refrigerator decided to, ruin my milk.
Are you sure that you didn't ruin your milk by keeping it in the refrigerator for too long? It's not the refrigerator's fault. The refrigerator didn't buy the milk.
Ugh. The bottle says June 10th, which is...
Of what year? Of what year?
2020.
Well, you got a dud, my friend. It's what they call a lemon. I don't know if they use that. I know they use that for cars, but yeah, you got a lemon. You bought a bad batch of milk. But let's get off the subject of milk. I'm lactose intolerant. Fuck milk. I hate milk. Do you have any questions coming out of the wrestling shows? Any wrestling questions tied into the shows tonight before we call it a night?
Well, let's see here. I mean, I'm happy that, I don't want to even spoil it. Well, I'm happy for Drake Maverick. That's something for sure.
Well, somebody else already spoiled it for me earlier, so you wouldn't be the first one. But, all right, so you're happy for Drake Maverick. And anything about AEW? Yeah. Any AEW thoughts since this is an AEW stream?
And nothing much with AEW. I still think we need little bit more work.
In what way?
I don't know. I think it's probably, this whole COVID situation. They need to step up production, basically.
Well, okay. I actually think their production on these shows has been better than WWE, but okay. That's certainly one opinion about their production. Anything anything else exciting before we wrap up?
And do you think Brian Cage will win the AEW championship from Jon Moxley?
I don't. I would say no. It's possible. If they really wanted to give this guy a monster push, yeah, I mean, they could certainly put the title on him, and then maybe he drops it back to Moxley at the pay-per-view in September. I don't see it. I don't think so. I think Moxley's going to hold on to it. Maybe they go to some kind of, draw. Maybe he doesn't pin him. But I think Moxley's going to hold on to the championship.
Wow.
But I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. I mean, not very often, but I've been wrong before. So,
and also I'd like to drop a challenge to everyone. I would love for everyone to find a police officer, tell them, you know what, you guys are doing a really great job. I would like to kneel down for you if you kneel down for me, Colin Kaepernick style. That you have my word that we will be peaceful.
Okay.
After all the shit that's been going on.
Well, there you go. That's a challenge from Luis to everybody listening. So wherever you may be, we do have some international listeners. I don't know if that counts for the Mounties up in Canada or any other countries, but
it's for everyone in the world.
Okay. Well, there it is. Everybody in the world, from Luis to everybody listening right now, that is the challenge from him to all of you. Luis, I hope you are staying safe wherever you may be. You're in L.A., right?
I am in, the area code's from Los Angeles, but I'm in Long Beach.
Long Beach, okay. Well, I hope you're staying safe in Long Beach and that you call back in again next week. It's becoming quickly becoming a ritual here every week, but stay safe.
Yeah,
And hopefully okay. We'll have you back
and
here
one
again.
More
okay, sure.
I want everybody to stop the rioting and the looting. It's getting too stupid already. Please, people, no more rioting, no more looting. Please help the police out. Please help your local businesses out by helping them clean their businesses and get everything back to normal.
Fine words from Luis. Luis, oh, he's still going. Okay, go ahead.
Because one thing for sure, I've been living in Los Angeles for 28 out of my 29 years of life. And this time around, I've seen everything that's been happening around Los Angeles, especially Friday night and all day Saturday. It really breaks my heart that this city was being destroyed by everyone. And I know even if you live in Brooklyn or in the Bronx or in Miami or in Minneapolis where this shit started, please, people, I beg of you, stop the rioting, stop the looting, stop these protests, please. I don't want to see everybody's cities get destroyed. Enough of this already. Let's join together with the police. Let's bring peace. All lives matter. No more of this bullshit. I know this all started because of a police officer that killed an innocent black man. But please, don't break this person's heart. Don't break anybody else's heart. This country is going through so much right now. And please, we're all in this together.
Well, those are fine words, Luis. I want you to calm down a little bit. I think those are good points. That's well said. There's a lot that's been going on, and I was very happy today. A few hours ago, I saw the news come down about, you know, the officer. They upgraded charges against him. They charged the other fools involved in this situation. Hopefully, it's going to be a tough battle. I mean, I know it seems kind of obvious. You know, you lock him up and throw away the key. You know how the criminal justice system works. It doesn't always work. Or other people would say it works well and you know, you got to go by the law, whatever the case may be. Hopefully they lock them up. They throw away the key. They don't belong out on the street. I think we can all agree. I certainly hope we can all agree on that. It is a sad time right now in this country. We have a lot of international listeners right now who are watching from their country what's going on here. I got emails all week from people saying, what the hell is going on now in your country right now? We're seeing all these images on TV and it's horrible. And it is, you know, it's horrible, but it all goes back to the first situation. And to watch that video, and I saw the whole 8.5 minutes, 9 minutes that video was, one of the most disgusting things that I've ever seen. Absolutely appalling. No excuse for it. No excuse for anyone to be treated like that. And so I hope the people involved, I hope those fucking idiots involved are locked away and don't see sunlight for the rest of their lives, because they don't deserve it. And, you know, Luis made a comment before this whole debate about the All Lives Matter and Black Lives Matter. I saw Chris Jericho on Instagram. He got a lot of heat this week for posting All Lives Matter and what these people don't understand. I don't think Luis, by the way, I don't think Luis was even thinking when he said that. And I think his heart's in the right place. But I've seen this a lot over the last week, and I try to stay out of it. I have my own thoughts. I try to just stay out of it. But since we're on the subject, and I see people throw this stuff out, All Lives Matter, and what these people don't understand, of course, all lives matter. Nobody is saying that your life doesn't matter, my life doesn't matter. Of course, everyone's life has value. No one is disputing that. What gets people upset when you say stupid shit like that is the fact that in order for all lives to matter, black lives have to matter. And the belief is that they don't. That's the whole fucking point. So when you spit shit like that out and you throw a hashtag out, all lives matter, and you wonder why are people getting so upset? Oh, they're getting triggered, snowflakes, and you say all this dumb shit. Think a little bit. Put your thinking cap on and ask yourself, why are people getting so upset about this? Because in order for A to make sense, B has to first make sense. That's the whole point. And there's a lot of ignorant people out there who don't seem to understand, or maybe they don't care. Maybe they don't care. Maybe ignorance is bliss for a lot of these people. All I know is that I hope everybody stay safe wherever you may be. It is scary out there. You know, it pains me when I watch this, and I'm in New York. So I'm in New York City, and we're under curfew. We're under curfew every night now, 8 o'clock until Sunday. I don't know if they're going to extend the curfew or not. But you watch these images and you watch these pictures on television and you see these people breaking into these stores and looting and doing all of these things. But what they're not showing you in a lot of cases is that the people who actually are out there on the street who are marching and protesting and stuff, they're doing so peacefully. Yeah, maybe they're being loud and all that stuff because that's what you do when you're protesting and you're marching. You're not doing it quietly. You want to make noise. You want to make people uncomfortable. You want to get their attention. And then you have these other little group of scumbags who mix in with these people, and then they're breaking into a fucking, Macy's to steal sweatpants. Those people should be dealt with as well. Because it's those few people that are kind of blending in and doing all that shit that are making everybody else look bad. That does nothing for anybody. You know, congratulations, you got yourself a fucking pair of sweatpants. That's not what this is about. And I hope they cut that shit out, because there's a lot of people out there right now who are doing the right thing, who feel, you know, very passionately about this, and their voices deserve to be heard. But I just wanted to mention that whole, you know, issue about the whole all lives matter, black lives matter, because I really think that you have some people who genuinely are ignorant, who just don't get it. They don't understand, and they have to be educated. And you do have other people who are just fucking racist, who are going to say a lot of racist shit. A lot of people have showed their ass this week. I think all of us can probably say the same thing when you look at your Facebook timeline, your like your personal Facebook profile, and you see people like you went to school with or people that you may be friends with, maybe family members, cousins, people like that. A lot of people have shown their ass this week. And in a way, I'm kind of happy because it showed some people for who they really are. And in some cases, it told me maybe these are people that I don't want to be associated with. They expose themselves. So, anyway, that's my spiel for now. I try to keep it to wrestling, but, you know, now with all the wrestlers commenting on it and everything, this is an issue that's affected everybody. And it's affected every aspect of life for the last week, and it's not going to end anytime soon. And unfortunately, we're probably going to get even more sad tweets and dumb comments from people, and, you know, people need to speak up. You know, the only way to combat that ignorance is education and telling them why they're wrong. I hope you guys have a great night. I hope that you guys will tune in again with me next Wednesday night, episode 655 coming up this Sunday. Actually, let me just run through some of the super chats here. Sorry. I didn't see the other ones come in. Oofman Entertainment, thank you. Dry Chicken Without Flavor. Tamara Davis, thank you, Tamara. And Derek Rose with the $20. Thank you, Derek. I appreciate it. All right, everybody, this has been a great night. Have a great one. And check out that In Your House video. Again, it's up on the YouTube channel right now. It's over an hour long. So if you're bored at work tomorrow or you're bored at home, you've got an hour to kill. I got you covered. Your top 10 In Your House countdown. And I will see you for episode 655 this weekend. Until then, stay safe. Have a good night, guys.